meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
We're not in San Diego.
I'll be the jazz rock
star. Is that where this show originated?
Roll up at my feet.
That's where it's headed. I actually know what that's from. Anchorman.
Yeah.
Anchorman, Will Ferrell.
Well done.
My wife cannot stand Will Ferrell. She doesn't want to watch anything he's in. As soon as she sees he's in it, she don't want to watch it.
Even the Saturday Night Live skit where he was the obnoxious high school cheerleader with the obnoxious female high school cheerleader. That's the funniest thing.
Nothing.
It's one of the top five funniest things Saturday Night Live's ever done.
She doesn't think he's funny.
Oh, boy.
She doesn't think a lot of things are funny.
Old school.
Yeah. Great movie.
I never saw it.
Oh, my goodness. You need to watch.
You need to watch that movie.
Is he in Step Brothers?
Yes, he is.
Break the Tank, yeah.
Step Brothers. That's the kind of movie.
With John C. Reilly.
It's like the Three Stooges. I don't know how anybody could not laugh, but she can sit through the whole Step Brothers movie, and I don't think she'd laugh. She just thinks it's stupid.
What does she think's funny?
I know she thinks things are funny because I've seen her laugh before. I remember back in 1998, she laughed at something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, you walked out of the bathroom naked.
That was it. And prior to that, we'd had a deal. We don't get to see each other with no clothes on. And that was an accident. And she burst out laughing. That was it. I forgot what it was. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to what I think is a weird day. And I'm not sure why. It's just off. You know, some days it's like timing. It's off. It's not as hot as it was. It's still hot, but not, oppressive.
Yeah, the humidity is down a lot.
It's not down enough. But it's like there's nothing really that hot topic. And we're not doing politics. If you want to talk politics,
absolutely not.
You have plenty to talk about if you want to talk about that. But we don't do that. So there's just not a lot. But here, hang on. A Burke segment's coming in. I have a couple of things I want to throw out. Dan Buffa will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk movies and TV shows. And very quickly, and I'll talk more about it later, but I saw something last night that I had made a point to record in case I couldn't watch it live, but I was able to watch it live. And it was the Robin Williams documentary, Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind. Wow. I mean, you already know this guy was off the charts when it came to just spontaneity and how fast his brain worked. But this was, and I thought, well, this is going to be like Elvis. We've seen it all. We haven't seen it all. They showed you certainly clips. You forget how many movies Robin Williams did. And a lot of people forget he was a terrific serious actor.
Oh, man. 1 hour photo.
Oh, my God. He was, and Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
He was a great serious. In fact, he was so good at being disturbed or being sad or being serious that maybe now you can look back and go, well, there's a reason he was good at it. He was, deep down, very troubled and very serious and very
depressed
and uncomfortable when he wasn't making people laugh. He was actually uncomfortable.
How much of the documentary featured anything to do with cocaine?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
That was always my theory on why he did what he did, was that he had a come down and he was depressed and that maybe that was involved, because I know he had a lot of relapses with that in his life. Yeah.
And they talked to some of his closest friends. Billy Crystal was one. Billy on the documentary plays, he's kept some messages. So when we used to have the record of the codophone, you leave a message, beep, and you did. Crystal has kept some from Robin Williams just to share with people, to show people how funny this guy was when he wasn't being paid to be funny. And the other people they interview say that if you're involved in a show or an event with Robin Williams, let's say Comic Relief, where a bunch of comedians, it's like everybody's goal was to be funny enough to deserve to be on the same stage with Robin Williams. He was that respected, that clever, that funny. And they interviewed David Letterman. And they said, in the old days, they show pictures of the old days. And some of you may have seen this, the Comedy Store. It's Jay Leno, David Letterman. It's a lot of Gary Shandling. A lot of these people grew up together and lived off of nothing, and night after night tried to get noticed and recognized and get a spot on the stage. And Letterman said, you know, we were all kind of in the same boat. And then Robin Williams joins the group, and we watch him on stage. And he said something to the effect of, I think a lot of them figured right then they might as well quit. Give up. Look at that guy. We'll never be that guy. And they go through the Mork and Mindy thing. And they go through... I was glad to see his wife, his first wife, was willing to sit down and tell her story about what it was like to be married to Robin Williams in those early years. And then when he became famous, it all fell apart because he apparently he had a hard time saying no to people. If somebody said, we got a charity award, he's there. He's there because he lived to be on stage. It didn't matter if it was a charity thing, if it was paying him millions of dollars, if it was a movie. That's what he lived for. And the uncomfortable, for most of us, the uncomfortable thing would be to get up on stage and try to make a bunch of people laugh. And then, thank goodness you're back home. It was just the opposite. Just the opposite. He'd walk on stage, he is absolutely in control and comfortable, and he'd get home, and he's just not there. He's just, they said, his wife said, he didn't talk, rarely, very quiet. And it was almost like he was just thinking, when can I get out of here and go do what I like to do, and what am I going to say next? It was very, very interesting. But after all of it, I still find it hard to believe that he did what he did. You know, we don't get in other people's minds. Who are we to say? If somebody has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, I don't know how painful that is, but pick the most painful cancer, the kind where you are just writhing in pain. Then I could see, if you find a way out, and you know you may very well linger like that for another year, I could see it. But in his case, he wasn't disabled. He wasn't that far down the road. He had two problems. He had Parkinson's and he had Lewy body disease. Lewy body disease is what my dad had. Lewy body is just a tick below Alzheimer's. Lewy body disease is essentially Alzheimer's. And he'd been diagnosed with that too. So imagine being Robin Williams, knowing that very soon all the people you love to be in front of, because you could run across the stage and jump up and down, you couldn't do that anymore. And I guess you think, now what use am I to anybody? I can't do that anymore. It's really interesting. And I also was surprised and really pleased that his son, Zach, was willing to be part of this. It was all absolutely legit. It wasn't somebody who's speculating about what Robin Williams... It was really interesting. So it's still on HBO. I'm sure it's going to be on for a while. It's called Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind. If you just Google Robin Williams HBO, you'll start it last night, and I'm sure they'll be rerunning it. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Ooh, thank goodness. Now we have a show. Ladies and gentlemen, a private investigator. That's not a joke. He really is. And newsman, Tim Woodburn. It's all yours.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Last week, something happened to me in the parking lot right outside this studio, and I was afraid that both you and or Limey and or Dan was going to see what I had, what I had to do. No.
Oh.
I parked over on the side of the parking lot over there, and I drive a Pathfinder. It's a big three-row SUV, and...
Can I guess what it is? Is it kind of embarrassing? If we had seen it, you'd be embarrassed?
Maybe.
Did you run over a curb?
Did you have, those sharp cramps and gurgles, and you had to poop in the parking lot?
No.
Did you poop in your pants?
No.
Did your shorts fall down?
No. No. No.
Were you making out with somebody you thought was a woman? It turned out to be a guy.
There was a man. Who knew there was a man on third?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay, we give up. What was it?
Somebody parked within about 3 inches of my driver's side door.
I hate that.
And
hate that.
And I mean, being the proud guy that I am, barrel chested as I am, maybe within 3 inches. Let's call it 8 inches.
Still.
Well, here, let me show you. Here's 8 inches. It's still close.
Yeah,
that's about for some it was. Things that's big, but right. That's pretty close.
That's about how far it was. You're right. Yeah. Good one. So, I tried to suck it in. I mean, I really.
That's what she said.
I tried to.
See, we didn't need that.
Sorry.
See, we didn't need that. Sometimes you jump in. It's not like your turn.
Sorry.
Yeah, we didn't need that.
I tried to suck it in, and the head got in, and the chest got in, but the gut, no chance. There's no chance. So I mean, I'm flustered, and I'm in a hurry. I might add. So I did the only thing that I could possibly do, which is walk around to the passenger side of the car. Right. This is something I have not done in years.
And I might add, I doubt that you have a bench seat.
No, there's a center console there. Yeah.
This is next to impossible.
Right. So I crawled in on the passenger side of the front seat, and I couldn't make up my mind if I wanted to go feet first or head first. Yeah. Do you dive in and then try and right yourself, or do you try and do the limbo and just kind of like, you know, go feet first and then slide your head?
No, we need to tell people who don't know you, you're not a 170-pound guy.
No.
If you were, you could pull that off.
No.
Passenger side, slide
right
over.
Right.
You're large.
Right.
And tough. I've tried to do this, by the way.
And I was so worried that you guys were going to drive by me on the way out and think, what in the hell is he doing? Because you guys all come out and make a left, and I'm parked over there on the side, right? And I'm thinking, worried somebody's going to peek in and see this massive hunk of plaid, you know, with my right ankle up over my left ear
you probably were bent in such a way that butt crack might have been showing.
It was full pretzel.
Yeah. Oh man,
I don't think there was butt crack because I had a long shirt hanging out that day. But it had butt crack potential. And so I decided to try and go in head first. And I decided about halfway through when my belly button got to the gear shift, I realized there's no way.
Right.
Because my shoulder got stuck under the driving wheel and there was going to be no way I could right myself. And now I'm worried I'm going to get stuck and have to call for help.
Yeah.
And
this is good.
So I back out. I'm able to back out. I'm like, okay, I'm huffing and puffing. I'm worn out. This is like a workout. And so I decide to go in just like a hurdler, you know, just like with that one foot over the hurdle and then bring the other foot behind and then just kind of squirrel around. I got that left foot over. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly afraid I'm going to rip my pants. And I had to go somewhere, and I didn't have a spare pair. I was horribly afraid I'm going to rip my pants. I had long pants on that day. And I got the left foot on the seat. Now my left knee is up about where my cheek is.
Oh,
and the right leg is the back of my heel is scraping my butt cheek, you know, and my shoulders are turned this way and my head is rubbing against the ceiling and against the
headliner.
Against the head dome light. And I mean, I'm worried I'm going to get stuck again. And miraculously, I'm one for the Gipper. I'm just like, okay, one, two, three, and I just kind of threw myself. And miraculously, I surged through. My shoulder slammed against the inside of the door, and my leg miraculously whipped over and made it over. But now my leg's on top of the console, you know, like my foot's higher than the steering wheel. And now I got to try and bend it back and get it down to where the gas pedal was. That alone took another 4 minutes. And I mean, it was terrible. And I was, and then the biggest thing was I was so thrilled that none of you guys saw me do that. And I get a call from an AM and the PM listener who knows you personally.
Okay.
And is older than me.
Okay.
And I sat there and listened to this guy tell me a 20-minute story of how the exact same thing just happened to him in the parking lot, of a restaurant. And I mean, I'm trying to keep my professional composure while I'm talking to this guy, because he was upset about some things, and I'm trying to not laugh the whole time. And finally, I just had to put my phone on mute, and I just started busting out laughing. I just could not believe, because that never happens to me. And then to get a call 2 days later. Has that ever happened to anybody in this room or that's quarantined?
It has to me once.
Oh, how'd you make out?
Pretty much like you described it, because I'm not small either. And you know, in the old days, all cars had bench seats. You could just slide over. The only bench seats now are standard pickup trucks with a standard bed and basic. I think you still got a truck.
You know what I've done in the past? I got in the back seat and got up. And climbed on the driver's seat through the back seat.
That's not a whole lot easier.
No, it's not. But it was a little easier for me.
The only other thing you could have done, I mean, the car is parked obviously on the left of your car, right next to you, is somehow break into that car, slide across, come out their passenger door or window into your driver's seat. But you'd be doing that through the size of a window.
I had to be Spider-Man.
That'd be tough, too.
My feet would have never hit the ground.
Yeah, now that I think about it, that would have been impossible. Well, Tim, I know you're glad you think we didn't see it. I want you to get your phone. I want you to go to our Facebook page where you will see the video of you. No, I'm kidding, folks. Don't go looking for it. It's not there. We don't have him on video. Boy, do I wish we did.
I'm sorry.
We didn't see that. I don't either. I just get in the car and go.
Yeah, I don't look around.
I look immediately around me to see if some weirdo was there. But beyond that, I don't pay any attention to anybody.
And I was kicking myself after the show last night because I made a decent joke, but it could have been so much better.
I've done this 100 times.
When you told the story, I wasn't even a joke. It was just a crack. It was just a wisecrack comment. When you told the story last night about how you came out of a former radio station and there was a homeless man peeing on your car.
Right.
Oh.
No, it was a client. I was visiting an advertiser.
Oh, you're visiting an advertiser, yeah. And there was somebody who was like spray peeing on your car.
Emptied his bladder all over my car.
I was so disappointed in myself as soon as I left the parking lot last night that I didn't say the phrase, "Is that how you met Dan?"
Well, now you've done it. It's still funny.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So is it?
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Anybody else for a segment? Sorry, I've got the the last stage of whatever that is my grandson gave me. Anybody else? Burke segment?
Cool. I do. I have something.
All right. This will be Dan Strauss, everybody. Dan's all yours.
Thanks so much, Frank. We were sitting around watching TV last night.
We who?
Sandy and I, my girlfriend.
Who's that? Okay.
Yeah. French girlfriend?
My girlfriend, yeah. We're watching TV, and the Bachelorette was on. Have you watched The Bachelorette?
I would never watch that.
I'm a big fan, but I missed last night's show.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
Yeah, I know somebody that went on the show, a hockey player that I used to work with. I know somebody that went on the show and did something that was so horribly embarrassing that I doubt he ever showed his face again to a lot of the people that knew him on the team that year. It was that bad.
Oh, wow. Wow.
The name drives me away.
Did you talk to him? Did he mention how scripted that show is? Because I can imagine it's.
See, I try to tell
people. It's all scripted.
I try to tell people this, and they get mad if they're really into these shows. And I try to tell them it's all staged.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
And
I disagree.
Well, no, sure. Some of the outcome might be real, like who he actually picks, but their interactions, their meetings, what they talk about, all of that is just producers in the scenes being like, you know, hey, try this out, hold her like that. It's choreographed dating.
Where I'll politely disagree is that I think they shoot like 90 hours of video where they just get all these guys saying all these different things, and then they just piecemeal it together the way they want it to come out, so it looks like there's controversy going on, or they elevate a state of controversy. They're always trying to create a new different level of drama. Exactly.
That's what they want you to
do. Right, right.
Well, there's four guys left.
Right.
And the girl went to each one of their family's homes. So they went to the place where they grew up, she went to the place where they grew up, met up with one of the guys, and then met his family. And they all sat down at the table, and they had full plates of food. And at every family, it was either the father or the mother looked at the guy and said, "You ready to go talk?" And they got up and they walked in the other room and started talking about this girl.
In a bad way or good way?
No, it's all staged.
Yeah.
Look, when you're watching these shows and they have a scene, I'll give you an example, where let's say he goes up to meet her parents and they open the door. Oh, yeah. Look, they've already rehearsed it. They knew, first of all, that they were going to be home or they wouldn't have taken a camera. The parents who act like, "Oh, this must be the boyfriend," they knew ahead of time the camera crew was coming, and they ran through it a few times. I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. All that stuff is very scripted.
So I was just watching it last night, trying to figure out all of the scripted stuff, and it's like a train wreck to me, and I couldn't stop watching it. And then
why you watch it, because it's a train wreck at the end. You want to see if the guy cries when he gets dumped.
Oh, my goodness.
When you watch these house flipping shows where they show a couple and they're with a realtor and they're going around and looking at the house, well, this is within your budget. And then they get a shot of the couple having a conference. Well, you know, that's a little more than we wanted to spend. That is all prepared and scripted and coached.
On those house flipping shows, most of them have already purchased their house and own it before the show has even been filmed, and they show them two other houses that they just kind of comment on.
It's
and they
fake.
Pick the house they already own.
It's absolutely fake.
But I hate reality TV.
The best is the show that's on after The Bachelorette. It's called The Proposal. Have you seen this? God. Has anyone seen
it? I don't want to see it again because of the title.
Is this where they propose after one date?
Yeah, they don't even have one date. They don't even. It's like last night, it was a guy. And
why do you watch that?
There are 10 girls because it's a train wreck. It's just, I can't turn away from it. There's a guy and he's in a pod. No one sees him. No one knows what he looks like. 10 girls come out and they all stand there. They introduce the 10 girls. Then he gets rid of like 4 of the girls. So then there's like 6 girls left. Immediately he gets rid of 4 of the girls. Then the next stage is these girls come out in swimsuits and then they come up and they talk to him and he's up in this pod. They still don't know what he looks like.
This is called the dating game in the 60s.
It is. And then he weeds out a couple more. So he finally gets it down to 2. And then once there are 2 girls left, and this goes the reverse too. There's a girl in the pod and 10 guys will come out. But last night it was the guy and he's a heart surgeon. So he comes walking out. And then everybody's like, Now, his sister was in the audience. So his sister got to come up and interview a couple of the girls. And then she goes into the pod with him and discusses
her thoughts.
This is
the dumbest thing. You just now ensured I would never watch this. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, no.
I want to go TiVo it now.
Yeah, you have to watch The Proposal.
No desire at all.
Oh, my God. It is such a train wreck. And then this guy comes out. And
they get the heart surgeon.
Yes, the heart surgeon. Okay. They give him a ring. He has a diamond ring. And then he walks up to the girl that he wants to propose to. And he gets down on a knee and asks her to marry him.
And she says what?
She says yes. Yeah. I've never seen anybody say no.
And did you follow up? Did they get married?
Oh, no. There hasn't been any follow-ups. I would love
to
see.
What is the point?
Any follow-ups?
What's the point of a proposal if they don't really get married?
I don't know.
I can't believe you watched it.
That's why the show is so. It's just so bizarre.
So you're so stupid.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I cannot help watching it. We sit there and watch it just in disbelief. It's just so stupid.
But the reason I know the show isn't 100% scripted is because Limey'll like this because it's a French Canadian guy, a French guy that I knew that went on there, and he talked very French. French was his first language. He talked like this: "How are you? It's nice to meet you." Mm-hmm. His name was Harold, and Harold went on The Bachelorette about season 3 of the show, and he steps out of in the very first scene, like all these limos show up and these guys get out of the car and they do their introductions. Some guys try and outshine one another, do something stupid or goofy, whatever. he brought out a hockey jersey, and it said Bachelorette number one on the back of it. And he was a really sharp, good-looking guy, real sharp-dressed guy, short, black, curly hair, tan, good-looking guy. And he gives her the jersey, and she's just all smitten with him. And, you know, later on in the show, there's 25 guys in there, and she hands out, you know, the roses to who's going to get to make it to the next episode, and she gives him the first rose. First impression, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Got the first rose. Hey, that's big time. Mm-hmm. Episode two. He is in a cocktail party with, like, the remaining 16 guys, and he takes her off to the side and goes, can we go talk for a moment? And she's like, yeah, I'd like that. So he takes her into a bedroom. This is filmed in a mansion. He takes her into a bedroom, and she lays down on the bed with a glass of wine in her hand, and he lays down on the bed.
So far, she's on the right track.
Yeah. He lays down on the bed also with a glass of wine in his hand, so they're kind of looking at each other, you know, like the letter X, okay? His head is at her feet are at his head. They're looking at each other kind of opposite directions. And she goes, so tell me a little bit about yourself. And the first words out of his mouth were, you know, the first time I saw you, I thought what your belly would look like with my baby in it.
Oh, Jesus.
And she gave him the biggest creep look I have ever seen in my life. And then he followed that up with, I thought also about what type of dress you would wear when you walk down the aisle the day we get married.
Jesus.
So the first two comments out of his mouth are, I want to knock you up. And
we'll get married.
And then we'll spend the rest of our lives together. She gassed him that night. Uh-huh. She gassed him that night. He creeped her out so bad. I don't think that there's any way that could have been scripted because it was so creepy what he did. I don't think any guy would have said, yeah, okay, that's a script. Yeah, I'll follow that script.
You said they were lying on the bed. His head was at one end and hers at the other end.
Yeah.
Then she gassed him.
So it's kind of like a 69 but with a bad ending.
There's a name for what you described. It's called 69, but she gassed him. Well,
he couldn't take 68 more.
No, I don't.
Gassed is when you gas somebody, blow them away, you blow them off.
I know. Yeah. But when you created that visual of two people, you know, head to toe, whatever, right? You said gas.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
There was one guy on last night. I can't remember if he got voted off now, but one of the guys is a virgin, and he was. And he told his parents knew, his entire family knows that this guy's a virgin, and it's a big deal to him.
And he's a former NFL football player.
Oh, the guy on that's who that is?
Colton is his name.
Yes, that's right.
Anybody here ever been on a network TV show?
No.
Nope.
I was a little kid. I was on a local show, Bozo the Clown. Every market had their own version of Bozo. Right. Yeah, I remember the Cub Scouts. We went and were on Bozo one time. But, you know, the sad thing is your parents couldn't record it back then. I mean, there's no video of Bozo the Clown.
Forgotten.
Yeah, it's long gone because there's no evidence of it. Was that anything else?
No, that was it.
Anybody else know? Is that it?
Nope. Right, I got nothing.
Shut her down. Burke segment is as I said, Dan Buffett will join us next hour. We'll talk movies and TV. I think most people, no matter how much you watch a week or how often you go to the movies, I think most people like to be told, you know, what's out there, what most people say is good and what most people say is bad, which is why I mentioned, and Buffett may mention too, the Robin Williams thing, Come Inside My Mind. It's just really interesting.
Oh, and there's a movie out, Tag, and I want to go see that. Dan Buffett said it's pretty funny, and it's a true story about those guys that continued the game from when
they were kids.
It
sounded stupid, but I saw the trailer,
yeah,
and I think it probably is funny.
Did you know the origin of the word tag?
Take a grab?
No.
I don't know.
Touch and go. That's...
Wow, Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much.
He actually knows something.
Yeah.
If you start thinking back when you were a kid, now this is what we did because we didn't have handheld video games, iPods or phones or anything. We had to go out. We had to go outside and play. And I have very little memory of what we played, but I remember a couple of games we played that I think back on it now, and I think, that is the stupidest thing that we played a thing called Sling Statue. You grab somebody by the arm and you go round and round and round and round. You sling them, and then they had to freeze however they landed.
Yeah.
That's the whole game.
We used to play, like, What's the Time, Mr. Wolf?
What?
What's the time, Mr. Wolf?
Yeah, yeah, okay. So there's one person who has to, you know, count down from, like, say, 30. One kid facing the wall. And all the other kids are about 10 to 15 feet away, right? And then as they count down, you've got to creep up. And then the person counting will turn around, "What's the time, Mr. Wolf?" And that's when you've got to freeze. And if you don't freeze, then you're out. It's called What's the Time, Mr. Wolf?
Do that again. What is it? Explain that again.
You count down like you're playing hide and seek.
So one kid is facing the wall, counting down from 30, and the other kids are creeping up behind him, right?
Okay.
And every now and again, the kid counting will turn around, and when he turns around, you got to stop moving. You got to freeze.
Hmm.
If you don't, you're out.
It's very similar. It sounds like red light, green light.
Okay. Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. Red light, green light.
We were children, thing. Frank. I'm sorry. It wasn't. So, what was this?
And then what? You turn around. The guy behind you stops. And you turn back to the wall, and he starts creeping toward you again, and you turn around.
And then eventually you've got to get there and, like, or tag him so that you're the winner.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, you try to get up there. That's like red light, green light. There's a bunch of people behind you.
What was Red Rover? Red Rover, let Tim come over.
That was...
Or let Dan come over. There's two lines of people facing each other. And you yell, "Red Rover, Red Rover," like that. And then you held hands, right?
Yeah, and they tried to bust through the line.
Okay, and essentially you had to hold tight and keep them from breaking through.
Right.
Uh-huh. I can't remember what that's called, but yeah. And they you would say that. Maybe it is Red Rover, that's what it's called.
Now, I'm about to mention something that when I was a kid, every single one of us saw girls doing. In fact, two things we saw girls do every day, all the time. Jump rope was one. Two girls on each end of the rope, and then one girl jumps in as it's...
I'm going around you.
Yeah. Cinderella, dressed in yellow, something, something to her fella. You know, they had this little thing they would say while they're jumping rope. And then the second girl would come in, and there's two girls in there jumping rope. That was a common, everyday sight. Here's the other one. Hopscotch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I played that all the time as a kid.
I bet you play that now.
Hopscotch?
No.
I haven't played hopscotch.
What was the point that you threw something?
You threw
down,
a rock or something.
You threw a rock down, and there's chalk, and there's boxes, and there's numbers in them.
Yeah.
And then you what?
You had to.
One
you had
leg,
to throw.
You,
no.
You had to
you
hop
had to
the...
throw. throw your little rock, and then you had to hop to where it was, and you had to. You could use one leg for the one box, but when you got two boxes, you could put both feet down, one in each box. And you had to go back to one, and then down to two, catch and come
then
back.
And eventually get, who throws the rock? You do?
Yeah, you do.
Well, why don't you just throw it right down in front of you, and you only have to take one hop?
Again, most of these games are played by young children.
You throw it out there, and then you're supposed to hop and get it, right? And
yeah, you got to make it challenging.
And then you
yourself.
Have to turn around and come back, I think.
When I was in... fourth grade.
By the way, when he was in fourth grade, he was 17.
Mm-hmm. It was three of the best years of my life. We had this gym teacher. I went to a grade school at Forder Elementary School down in South St. Louis, and we had a gym teacher. I remember his name to this day. His name is Mr. Bridwell. And I don't know why he liked this, but this was a very violent game, and he let the boys and the girls play it, and you had to sit against a wall. And he would take about 8 dodgeballs and just throw them out onto the floor. And you hope that one came to your feet, because wherever it landed. And as soon as he blew the whistle, it was a dodgeball free-for-all.
Yeah, dodgeball was great.
Dodgeball's where you got guys on one side.
And you throw it at each other.
Teams.
There's a line, though, that you don't cross. This was a free-for-all. It was a free-for-all of pick up these red kickballs that we used to use. And guys, we would just get blasted in the head and in the ribs. And, you know, it'd be like, if you had two balls, that was a big thing to have one in each hand.
How do you win or lose?
Last man standing. It was the last man standing. If you get hit, now if you caught the ball, the guy threw it was out. But
okay. If you get hit, you don't catch it. You're out.
But I mean, you'd run around, and hit a girl in the back of the head, hit a girl in the back of the head, hit a guy in the back of the back, and the ball come back to you all three times, and it was just a total free for all.
And if I'm not mistaken, about 5 years ago, maybe more, they decided.
Oh, they weren't allowed to play it in schools anymore.
No more dodgeball in any school ever.
Yeah. Oh, because those balls. Those were those.
They sting.
Yeah, those were those hard, like rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't inflated as hard like a basketball,
no.
But they were a little rough.
Yeah.
They were red. I can still feel that ball, mm-hmm. and I know the size of that ball.
And I can hear the sound in my head of when it would hit. It's like high pitch,
that
like
hollow.
Ding. Yeah, just ring for a while.
And I think every school in this country, in the gym, in the locker room, the storage room where they kept the equipment, had a whole bunch of those red balls and a bunch of basketballs and other stuff now that I don't think you see anymore. I will tell you that...
Do you guys ever have the crash mats that were just like maybe an inch thick of just like this foam type stuff?
Yeah.
I remember climbing on climbing frames. Like, you know, they went a good 10, 15 feet up, and at the bottom is just one of those one-inch thick crash mats.
Did they make you do gymnastics? Basic gymnastics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the time.
I used to, I know this is weird, what I hated most about P.E., and I took P.E. because if you played sports, you didn't have to take P.E. You're on the team, you don't take P.E. So automatically, if you have to go to P.E. at 9 o'clock or whatever, you're a loser because you're with other losers who aren't on a team, they can't make the team, they're not good enough. It's a bunch of losers, and you feel like a loser. And you're, at least in my high school, you're assigned little girly-looking shorts and a T-shirt that had the high school on it, the sissiest-looking outfit. I was so afraid that any of the girls in high school would see me outside or in the gym in that stupid, because in my mind, I look stupid in shorts. I always felt like I shouldn't be wearing shorts. I wasn't athletic. It was kind of a little stick, pencil thin. And I just always was embarrassed to wear that. And did you ever fake being sick on the day of PE when they knew they were going to do something you just couldn't do? Well, today is the 1 mile run. I don't feel good. No, you know, fake being, I did.
I hated the 1 mile run.
I couldn't run.
You know, it was worse than the 1 mile run.
The
1 mile run?
A 2 mile run. But
square dancing.
Oh, square dancing. We did that too.
Where you actually had to hold the girl's hand when you promenade around the thing, and then as soon as you complete the circle, you just completely drop your hands to your side, and you wipe them off your side because you just touch on gunner.
We never had a square dance.
Myself under the bus here, but we never did square dancing, obviously, in England, but we did the most English thing ever, which was maypole dancing.
We did it.
Yeah, you did maypole dancing.
We talked
as well.
About it. We did the maypole too.
What is that?
You just dance around with ribbons. That's what it is.
Oh boy.
Now this is kind of a little bit sick. This is a little bit sick, but what I'm about to do is so normal.
You had your jock strap on backwards?
I didn't wear a jock strap.
Oh.
A lot of the guys did.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I didn't know how to put it on. I went to the store because the coach used to say, it's jock strap, boys. Well, the jocks, the actual jocks, wore them to play basketball. And a lot of the guys in PE class wore them. And I would look at them. But think about this. Where do they teach you, one, where to get a jock strap, two, how to wear it? Because it looks weird. And I mean, I was just used to underwear. A left leg hole, right leg hole, whoosh, pull it up. So I went on my own. Because I'm not going to ask my mother. Go get me jock strap. So I go get a jock strap, and I came home, and I remember trying to figure out, is it backwards? Do I have it? And I finally threw it away, and I never wore them because I was embarrassed that I might walk out to go to the shower and pull my trunks down, and everybody burst out laughing. His jock strap's on backwards. Oh, I couldn't figure the thing out. It was like some kind of bra or something. I didn't want to wear that thing.
It's kind of.
And I also never understood why you had to wear it. What was the point? What was supposed to do?
A low bra.
Low bra.
Well, it keeps you slamming and banging around.
To stop balls from hitting your family jewels.
I think they are your family jewels.
Well, no, that's
actual balls they throw.
Yeah.
But that's if you had a cup on.
Yeah, that
they
the
just made
strap
you wear
didn't
the
protect
strap
anything. It was just cloth.
The cup.
Wait, isn't that the one with the nut cup attached?
No. It's just cloth.
Yeah.
It's just cloth.
Yeah, they have a jock strap that
they've changed since the
it almost in. Looks like a bandage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you were in a horrible crotch accident, and the doctor had to bandage your testicles. It looks like an ace bandage tried to make an underwear or something. Yeah, I was every day. I was embarrassed at school. I was scared at school. I was humiliated at school. I felt inferior at school. I hated school.
Oh.
And my wife used to get so mad at me. I'd say that in front of our kids. She'd say, you cannot say in front of our kids that you hate school. It'll cause them to hate school. And I said, no, it won't. They'll hate it on their own. But they actually didn't. It didn't cause that. You know, you go to school and you make yourself out of it, whatever you make out of it. It's easy to say now. But when you are short, and I was, skinny, and I was, come from a very strict religious household where what the other boys did, let's go down in the woods and smoke cigarettes. Oh, I can't. I can't. My mother will kill me. Then you kind of become a target for people to make fun of. And I dreaded going to school every day. I did. I had a stomach ache almost every day. So I don't miss it. I didn't like it. And to the teacher out there somewhere, if you're still alive, who said to me one day when I was a sophomore or something, and you said to me, son, you're going to see the day when you'd give anything to be back in high school. Well, I'm still waiting for that day.
Oh, no.
It's never going to come.
I don't want to go back.
It is never going
to
come.
Hey, Bill said he can explain hopscotch to us.
Well, Bill's a guy.
Yeah, I know.
Put him on here. Hey, Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. You going to explain hopscotch?
Yeah, Frank, come on, you guys. I mean, Limey says he even played it.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, I think a lot of guys played it just to be with girls.
Well, I used to play it as a kid. I enjoyed it, actually.
Well, yeah. Okay. Lay it out for us.
You know, and I'm not homophobic or anything, and I'm not a homosexual, so
right.
I don't even mind saying that I enjoy the hopscotch. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Limey. Okay. I appreciate it.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with
now,
that.
Now, Bill, lay it out for us. Lay the hopscotch out.
Okay, let me give you the outline of a hopscotch court. Let's start with that, okay? Mm-hmm. It looks just like a basketball court up above the free throw line.
Okay.
Okay, can you picture that? The lines on both sides.
Yep.
Free throw line and then the circle above it. Okay.
Right.
It had lines diagonally and horizontally starting with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to 10. The idea is you stand behind the line, you throw your little rock on 1, okay, and when you start, you don't do anything. You can reach over and pick it up. You do it with 2. Fine. You're done with those 2. They're stupid. They don't make any sense. You don't have to do anything. Now when you jump and when you throw it, the rock to 3, the whole point is you've got to make it in that square, too.
Now, let me stop you. What if
you
the rock? What if, as you start to throw the rock farther out, what if you miss and you mean to throw it in 3, but it goes to 4? I mean, you can't control
it. You've got to go in succession. Yeah, you learn to control it because then it's your opponent's turn. The first person to do the whole thing and finish it wins the game. So you throw it, you know, you got to roll it perfectly up to 10. Then you jump 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. You pick it up, you turn around, you come all the way back to the beginning, and that's the game.
Well done. I can almost see it. Good job.
Okay, good. I'm glad I was able to give you that theater of the mind, I think you people call it in radio.
That's what we call it. Thank you, Bill.
Hey, one other thing.
Yeah.
Quick. We used to call dodgeball. I don't know if any of you remember this name. Bombardment.
Yes. I do remember that. We did call it bombardment. No, he's right.
Yeah, we used to play with volleyballs. I love that. And when I was in high school, everybody had to go to gym, no matter who you were, and you see all these poor nerds, and sorry nerds out there, I know you're the ones making all the money today, but at the time, boy, were they cowering in the corner going, I gotta get out of here.
That was me. Hey, Bill, that was me. Thank you for the
call.
Well,
I'm sorry. I was the other guy that was looking for them, to be honest with you.
All right.
I'm sorry for that guy.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
No, I walk with my feet out, so I'm not a runner. I can't run very well. And the most humiliating thing to me was when the PE
duck feet.
And whenever the PE teacher would say, he said, well, let's go outside. We weren't going to be in the gym. I thought, oh, no. If we go outside, that means we're going to the track. And he said, all right, and he'd have a stopwatch. And when he said we're going to run the mile, right then I started manufacturing diarrhea. I just did. It just started churning my stomach, upset. Because I was so embarrassed. I was always the last guy. And you run, toward that last finish part, all the other kids are already there. They've already finished. They ran a mile. A couple of them might have had a Gatorade already. I'm still me, and it was me. It was me and one really fat kid. You know, that fat kid who could never run, and he and I were the humiliated ones. And because I don't know, I'm not saying they shouldn't have made me do it. Everybody has to exercise, but it could have been done differently so that so many students didn't feel like losers, if that makes sense. We had a thing, and real quick, I'll take a break. We had a thing, a rope that hung from something in the gym, and you climbed it with your hands. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what that was called. It was a great big rope. No, it was a great big rope. It was like two or three inches in diameter.
Yeah, yeah.
And the coach gave you, the PE teacher gave you some powder, and you couldn't cheat with your feet. And kind of, is it shinny or shimmy?
Shinny? Shinny, I think.
You had to use your hands.
Yeah.
Now, Gary McCarter, one of the kids I hated because he was so athletic, he'd step up there and just like a spider monkey or something, just right to the top.
There was always that one kid.
Yeah, and then most of the kids, and then I'd get up there and I'd reach up and I'd hold it and I wasn't even going anywhere. I might get like one hand crossed over the other hand and then I would slip down and just fall.
It was like trying to do pull-ups. Which I hated.
The other thing I was going to say that's probably not nice, it's not that it's not nice, it might be uncomfortable, but this is so true. If you were in high school and you went to the gym to PE, in our school, half the gym, girls, the other half, men. Our PE teacher, and they had their female PE teacher. Any of the girls sitting on the bleacher who weren't participating...
Oh.
You knew.
Oh, yeah.
It was their time, their monthly time.
Yeah. Aunt Martha was visiting. or Aunt Flo, rather. Aunt Flo.
No, I'm serious. And so you go in the gym, and immediately I go, oh, my goodness, Mary Jane is on her period. Not that it mattered or that it was going to mean anything. It's just that's embarrassing, too, that girls had to be, like, spotlighted because they had their monthly thing going on. Okay, you sit on the bleachers.
Yep.
And those were the girls on the bleachers. All right, we have to take a break. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet by the Lou Headway. Johnny Landoff, Dan's harmonica ready because I know people want to hear this. When I finish what I'm about to say, Dan will entertain you with the Johnny Landoff jingle. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet is in North County. You know that. You have to know that. No.
Okay.
Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270. Been there since 1960. So that would be 58 years or whatever. It's a place to buy Chevrolets. It's a place to buy pre-owned cars, just like lots of other car dealers. Every car dealer in this town has new cars, and I think they put all of them have used cars. So what's the difference? Well, here's the difference. It's the buying experience. It's the difference between buying a car being a complete pain and something you hope you don't have to do for a long time, to the buying experience you have where you look forward to buying another car soon and hope you're able to because of the way you were treated. That's it. That's really the biggest difference. Inventory, they have plenty, of course. They have to compete. Prices, nobody's going to beat them. So what else would you look for? And why would you not, if you're aiming the PM, include Johnny Landoff Chevrolet? And the answer is, I don't think you will. I think you'll give them a shot. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, 24/7. At Landoff.com.
At Club Fitness, there's something for everybody this Independence Day, and we're celebrating all month long. Stop into any 23 locations this month and get started on your fitness journey for just $4. Let freedom ring with free classes, free tanning, and free kids club. Join the club during our Independence Day sale in July. $4 get you started today. Learn more at clubfitness.us. See club for details.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Is Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
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 Ew.
No. Oh, God, no. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now featuring the Hamptons.
Doug Vaughn here with a word about a St. Louis institution, Ragazzi's. Ragazzi's is the oldest restaurant on the hill and is your home of the frozen fishbowl and handmade toasted ravioli. The pizza has been recognized nationally by Bon Appetit magazine. Plus, Ragazzi's can handle catering and private parties like rehearsal dinners. Happy hour is 3 to 6 p.m. daily, and nurses' happy hour is 8 to 10 each morning. Enjoy lunch or dinner at Ragazzi's. You will love it. 4945 Daggett on the Hill and Ragazzi's.com.
This is Martin Kilcoin. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.